everyone, from Studio 5, I'm your host Dick Chafing, and despite the infrastructure failure, we've cobbled together a broadcast deck, some new chairs, someone stole all the other ones, and have wiped down all the surfaces in case panic buying is infectious, and we all catch a nasty case.
I'm Rudolph Hucker, and I've definitely not bought all the bog rolls.
I'm far too sensible for all this nonsense. Besides, my quarters are fitted with a bidet.
I bought all the chocolate bars in the shop, but that's normal, right?
I've disinfected Lou thoroughly, just to make sure.
I keep slipping off my chair because I... Whoops!
Us Antarctic explorers just use whatever comes to hand.
And now, on with the news. And we'll start it off with a big noise like this.
No toilet rolls at the orbital. All our shelves are bare.
The wheels on the SRV go round and round.
Don't worry. Be happy.
The galaxy feels just a little bit smaller today.
We're all getting out of touch.
We're getting ready for our close-up.
Atrus 5060 has far too much time on his hands.
Lou has been trying to fade into the background.
And Norma's been sticking her nose into what's been going on.
First tonight, panic at the orbital is hot and is struck down by an infrastructure failure. With the frequency of visits by pilots arriving at our orbital hunting for a full hold of hot mugs and the odd bottle of Megagen, it was inevitable that one of them might bring something nasty with them. With pilots arriving at Hutton having spent months and in some cases years out exploring, catching all manner of nasty space lurgy, the IXI and Operation Ida pilots regularly getting covered in suspicious looking green goo, and of course the propensity of Imperial types to not wash their hands properly after the last orgy, the decontamination rooms at arrivals has been working overtime. Unfortunately, it appears that someone managed to accidentally change the bulbs in the ultraviolet bug zapper for the ones from the Hutton Disco, meaning that instead of a thorough decontamination, most of the pilots got a dose of Saturday Night Fever. As a result, upon their first shower, various contaminants made their way into the filtration systems, overloading them and bringing everything crashing down around our ears. The food pellet processing auto-vending machine started making everything taste like kale. The soup dispenser had a spelling error, and everyone started frothing at the mouth. The mug-making machine decided that it was a student of Salvador Dali and stuck handles in every which way, and of course the automatic gin distillery moved the decimal point and the resulting fluid ate its way through the bulkhead. The effect of this is a temporary pause in the hot mess while Hutton fixes the hot mess on its very own doorstep. Mugs will be available soon, but values of soon vary from soon to soonish depending on how many people help out. Or even soon! Alvin has put out an emergency beacon asking for support for Hutton stations in Alpha Centauri, bringing in new machines and of course plenty of food, because on one in their right mind, no one in their right mind wants to eat kale.
Not content with running the galaxy and turning a blind eye to the Dastardly Don's evil DNA vivisection on Jurassic World, his menagerie on Planet Zoo, and his torture park on Planet Coaster in his secret system somewhere in the bubble, the Pilots Federation are turning their hand to a new venture. Barney Eccles-Cake, media mogul and famously rich former Imperial, has undertaken to start a galactic Grand Prix management empire. Modelled on a buckyballer race base and featuring all the latest in crowd-pleasing noises, dangerous-looking crashes, driver tantrums, and of course weekly controversies about who has been cheating the rules by adding jumponium to their fuel, he has been hawking the broadcast rights to every media outlet in the galaxy. Of course, with the only official media outlet, Galnet, being totally AWOL, he wasn't offered very much, though Lave Radio are said to have looked down the studio sofa and found a couple of credits and a part sucked Werther's original. We'll be keeping a close eye on the developments of this new racing formula and are taking bets as to whether it will feature famous two-part music masterpiece The Chain somewhere in the opening credits.
We all know of daredevils that pride themselves in exiting Supercruise at the last possible moment. They regale us with tales of actually exiting beyond the back wall of a station or beneath the surface of a planet. Well, on Sunday, Commander Kvulfsuk, also known as Seawolf XUK, discovered that it is possible to exit Supercruise too late, and yet not late enough, as he found his ship entering normal space actually within an object that made up part of the station. And he couldn't move! Mass locked, he couldn't re-enter Supercruise, and despite incredibly useful advice such as lower your landing gear, buy a new paint job, and get yourself a new Anaconda at Hutton Orbital, he was resigned to having to self-destruct when a final, and this time useful, piece of advice was offered. Do nothing, just sleep on it. Returning to his ship a few hours later, he found that the station had spat him out, and he was once again free. And the moral of this story is, as said by the author Marty Rubin, struggle is less effective than doing nothing.
Around 15 months ago, the boffins at ADSM, you didn't think that Canon had a monopoly, did you? Said that we had discovered 0.007639% of the galaxy and would take 45,447 years, 5 months and 11 days to discover it entirely. Commander I, as he has done regularly over the years, pointed out that we've overtaken that figure. As of yesterday, we've discovered 0.012432% of the galaxy, and at this rate, it will now take 37,967 years, 3 months, 17 days to discover it entirely. That may seem like still a heck of a long time, but in those 15 months, we've reduced the estimated time by nearly 7,500 years. That kind of acceleration could see the process finish in 5 years. No, of course the math doesn't work like that, but it's nice to think, eh? Of course, none of you are out exploring at the moment, are you? Surely you're all taking part in Operation Hot Mess.
As Outbreak reaches as far as Colonia, the galaxy proves that it is justifiably called dangerous, and passenger ships become even less popular as a mode of transport than travelling with Nocti when he's checking if no brakes is just a metaphor. We need to find new ways to safely greet each other.
Gone are the traditional ways for pilots to acknowledge that they're in the presence of a fellow waggler of the stick, or a presser of buttons on their joypad. No more rubbing noses, touching the feet of elders, hugging, even with the permission of the huggee, fist bumping without you both wearing gloves, or kissing the ring, either one, and handshakes are right out.
Scientists have concluded that the best and least likely ways to give you a nasty case of mods when greeting someone is to firstly make sure you start at least 5 meters apart, the same distance as we crew members of the Aurora Australis give to non-breeding seals.
Holding up a sign that says hello, as if you're waiting for a passenger at a spaceport, is all well and good, but it doesn't allow for very much in the way of variety. We love a bit of discipline as much as the next man, or woman, or non-binary, or non-human, or other, but we do like to crack the whip and find other ways to get to know our fellow creatures. With that in mind, This is the Hutton Orbital Guide to the top 10 best ways to greet other commanders. Why not give some of these a try at the next ECM?
At number 10, sticking out your tongue. This goes down a treat in cold, mountainous countries, where it should take far too long to disrobe enough to use any other part of your body, and has the added advantage that the other person can check to see if you have any signs of infection.
Number 9. The air kiss. The mwah mwah, so popular with artistic types, works very well, as long as there's at least 2 or 3 metres between you. If in doubt, stand in separate rooms for this.
8. Bowing. An obvious one, there's no physical contact, and is either intended to show deep respect or a none-too-subtle indication of, look at my shoes. Do make sure that before bowing you perform a quick piece of mathematics to check that the distance between you is at least the sum of the 2 upper bodies in question, to avoid adding concussion to the list of ailments you may acquire.
Number 7. Demolition Man High Five. For those of you that have not seen the vidcast, it's the same as a regular high five, except that you stand a distance apart and wave the palms of your hands around in opposite directions. Effective, but it looks stupid.
Number 8. The Vulcan Salute. Beloved of many and hated by people who can't make their fingers go that way without the use of elastic bands. Sorry, Harry.
Number 7. For people that you dislike, or for friends who enjoy a bit of banter, why not use the 2-finger salute, incorrectly attributed to the English bowman at Agincourt and secretly used by Winston Churchill behind the cigar.
Number 6. The Haka. Intended to intimidate their enemies and created in a land that's only 2,500 kilometres from the home of the Aurora Australis. Yes, it's the second time we've used their name in this item, but apparently since we have a special guest, we have to take every opportunity to bring this up. This is similar to the number 10 entry, sticking out your tongue, but this is an advanced version involving squatting as if you need to release an enormous fart, slapping your thighs, and then moving about a bit. Oh, and you need to be prepared to play with odd-shaped balls.
At number 5, why not follow the example of Lord Melchett, who's recently joined the Truckers? Stand still and say, "Bah!" in a loud voice.
Number 4, thump your chest with both hands, screech in an unintelligible manner, and optionally, throw feces round the room. This is known as the Symuth method.
Number 3, Imperial Salute. Beloved of Imperials who slap their chest to cover the sound of a fart, and then they throw their hand out in a salute crying, "Better out than in!"
Number 2. Waving. Who doesn't like a good wave? This can be used to convey emotion at the same time. From "Yoo-hoo wave" all the way up to "I see you but don't come any closer because then I'll be forced to leave the room." The wave can be used at any occasion.
But number 1, the scientist's choice, the most popular and, in our opinion, the very best way to greet another commander, is the good old traditional 07 salute. Lift that hand, but remember not to touch your face as you say, "Greetings, Commander."
There are rumours of massed broadcast activity some 1,600 light-years from the bubble, as the Gorgon Research Facility in NGC 7822 Sector BQ-YD12, I love how they name these planets, has become a hive of activity in recent weeks. The Robotics and 3D HoloMe, nearly live-action acting division of Fantastic Broadcast Group, part of the Fantastic Everything Group, is preparing to launch the movie adaptation of its popular board game, The Gorgon's Lock. Reportedly starring Zamina Torval lookalike Dame Judi Dench, the 50th, as the Gorgon, the AI HoloMe of Arnold the Governator Schwarzenegger as our hero, he's back apparently, just as promised, the Humber as the Lock, and our very own Commander Wotherspoon as the exciting sounding movie trailer voiceover it promises to be this season's blockbuster movie. The Gorgon Research Facility was chosen as the site for this film studio and soundstage, as it was marginally nearer than Hull, where the original game and accompanying book series were made. Rumours of cameos from a variety of well-known galactic superstars, including David Brubin of Barnard Star as an ogre, Yamix as a troll, and Harry Potter as himself, are unconfirmed as of yet, but a variety of pirates of all shapes and sizes have been hired as the chorus line. We wish the chief executive, director, producer, writer, script supervisor, first AD, second AD, Grip, runner, and best boy, Mr. Grubb, all the best in his latest venture.
Good evening, truckers. Ages 50-60 here. Or rather, I'm not, because I parked at Hutton and then everything went wrong. I mean, Sarg uses all those nasty weapons to take everything offline, and all it took was docking at the orbital, and it all went a bit wrong. So, all I'm going to say is, for the mug, and has anyone got a toolkit handy? Anyone? Anyone?
There's really only one thing to do with the BGF this week. Clear the infrastructure failure in Alpha Centauri. We can't buy mugs without it. Any items from the machinery or foods categories should help. Machinery so we can fix stuff, and food to feed the workforce who are fixing stuff. As usual, Colonia was feeling left out and has decided to copy their betters in the bubble by having their own infrastructure failure in Tier. Instructions as above. Apart from that, just the usual stuff in both the bubble and Colonia. The BGS is way too stable nowadays. Over to Norma.
One diary item has been brought to our attention this week. It looks like a good one. Palcon would like to ask the Super Truckers to one of our open events. It's part of our Paladin Games, where the different houses fight against each other for glory. But we decided to open it to other factions, the more the better. Announcing the next Paladin Games event, Assassin, open to everyone on Friday the 13th, Big Papa's Base and Hirimi, 19 GMT, sign up here at http://tiny.cc/kill. That sounds romantic, fighting for honour and glory. No chance of getting Lou to do anything like that. Last time I asked Lou if he'd fight for my honour, he said he'd rather fight for the French at the Battle of Agincourt, because that was lost much more recently. Flossie will tell you about the progress of Operation Hot Mess later, but this week's memorable stations are Old Hangar and Young Terminal in the Gerda system, Beer Dock and Tijiwang, which Commander Infinite Dreamer says is Little Willy's home station. On to more important community news and a subject that is dear to Flossie's heart. The Fuel Rats have just completed their 70,000th rescue. Yes, 7000 rescues. More rescues than mugs being delivered in Operation Hot Mess. Over 96% of all attempted rescues were successful. All Fuel Rat rescues are worth celebrating. But because of an accident of timing that will be of interest to numerologists, the rats involved in the 70,000th rescue were Revnov and Darth Teal. God, that was... Sorry,